Ron Van Dam. He doesn't need this gig. He's got all that money coming from that deposed Nigerian prince. Should be here any day now, and then he's kissing you suckers goodbye. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thanks a lot.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you for coming. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. That's me. It's my name. Oh, God. Make yourself comfortable. I'm going to entertain you for about 30 minutes. Then you're on your own. Actually, you're always on your own. This is just a facade. When I was younger, when I went to school, my mother would pack a lunch for me because we thought that the food at the school was poison, and it was. So I loved bologna when I was a child, and my mother would make me bologna sandwiches. Two pieces of bread, couple of slices of bologna, not a big deal. I didn't like mustard on it or anything like that. Just give me that freaking bologna between two pieces of Wonder Bread. And she did this, and for about, 10 years, this is what I ate for lunch every single day. I think I'm paying for that now. There is so much bologna still within me that people actually come up to me and say, Ron, you're full of bologna, and I say, I know! Do you have any funny stories like that? No? Okay, fine, never mind. You know, having a conversation with you is really difficult. It is. All right, that's it. Okay, thanks for stopping by. This is a wonderful gathering that we have formed at this particular moment. I like to do these shows on a very personal nature, as a matter of fact. When I do these shows, I don't picture a large audience. I picture just you. How far from the truth that is, I don't know, but this is the way it forms in my head. It's like making a new friend every day, similar to Facebook. I have more Facebook friends than I can count on my toes, and I don't know any of them, nor speak the language which they apparently speak. So it's difficult. Have you noticed everything's a little difficult these days? I guess it's quite difficult for a lot of people, especially this Donald J. Trump. I don't know what the J stands for, but I don't even want to speculate. As you've probably heard, he is being indicted and must surrender himself upon me on Tuesday, where he will be booked. They're going to take fingerprints and pictures of him, like there are no pictures of him. And, he'll be, under arrest, basically, although he won't be sitting in a jail cell. Damn it. I think if he did, then it would be too much, you know. I don't want to make a big thing out of this. Here's the bottom line to this whole thing. And there are so many possible indictments for this guy coming up in the near future. You watch and see, it's going to be boom, 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 boom. And each indictment will become a little bit more impactful in the lives of everybody. Because, I mean, you know, this is because of a check that was written to Stormy Daniels to cover up an affair that was had and to hush it just before the election so that Trump could win. And he did. And the last time that he did as well. Anyway, so Michael Cohen, his attorney, writes a check for $130,000. There are tapes, audio tapes, of both Michael Cohen and Donald J. Trump talking about this, and Trump saying, well, you know, we should do this in cash and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, he did it. Trump has been, his companies have been indicted for fraud. For tax fraud. That's a fact. So, I mean, this is it's the build-up time. Anyway, this is step one in the indictment carnival, which will take place. And I've said this on the show many times before, and I'm not here to talk about it now, is that no man is above the law. I don't care if you're president or a candlestick maker, a baker. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think your power is or how much money you have. It doesn't matter. No one's above the law. If I can be pulled into a courtroom and if I can be indicted, you can be indicted. Not that I have been, but I'm just saying, you know, we don't all have money to fight these lawsuits, to fight these criminal charges. He does. I don't. You don't. Not fair. So, I mean, you know, no one's above the law, babe. We're all created equal, except for Donald Trump, who I don't think was created with a full deck of cards, personally. Okay, let's move on. Yeah, things are crazy these days. No question about it. But the spring is coming, and people are just excited about that, except for places where spring was always there. But when you're coming out of a winter, see, the problem was in the Northeast, which is where I live, there was no winter. Buffalo had a winter, and that was about it. And, you know, around Chicago, they had a winter. But when you're talking about New England, New York, that kind of Northeast, they didn't have a winter. It got a little cold every once in a while. I mean, my tits got hard here and there. But other than that, there was not a lot of snow. And the cold, go inside, put the heat on. Seriously? But as far as snow is concerned and shoveling, no, not that many heart attacks from shoveling in the Northeast. Unless you're in Buffalo. What is it with Buffalo? Who would raise their hand and say, I want to live in Buffalo? It's only because of it's always been like that in Buffalo. They've always broken snow records. That's what they do. It's those freaking Great Lakes. They ain't so great. Let me explain this. I'm going to do a little meteorological. I can't say that. I'm going to do an explanation for you. You have these Great Lakes, these gigantic bodies of water, like Lake Ontario and Lake Erie and all those places. They actually, Lake Superior, yeah. The lakes are so big, they actually have waves in them, like the ocean. There's beaches off the side of the lake, and the waves are constantly crashing on the beach. That's a lake? No, that's an ocean. This is very close to the size of a small ocean. So what happens? The cold air comes out of Canada. We all know that. We learned that in school. Two things come out of Canada, cold air and comedians. So anyway, the cold air comes out of Canada. And then the cold air comes south over these large bodies of water. So the cold air picks up this moisture, which is a formula for snow, by the way. And then when it hits land, which is Buffalo, the snow comes down because of picking up all this moisture from this gigantically ocean-like lake. Cold air. Moisture, freaking snow. And that's why Buffalo is just such a wonderful place to be in the winter. To the point of danger and losing your life. I mean, it's like bad. Second only to Florida. Florida has no snow, but it has everything else. I don't think it has earthquakes. But I think if you jump up and down enough, that can happen. Florida is basically built on a marsh. The Everglades are kind of like the foundation. And then they build shit on top of it. So it's not exactly And the entire state of Florida is shaped like a penis, and I don't know how you get beyond that, to be honest with you. It's a peninsula. Peninsula, penis, whatever. So anyway, so people move there, and there's hurricanes, a lot of hurricanes, a lot of hurricanes, a lot of floods, a lot of floods, a lot of floods. Tornadoes, a lot of tornadoes, a lot of tornadoes. The list goes on, although that's kind of the end of the list. All you really need to realize, that's a difficult place to live. It rains every afternoon. Look, here's the problem with Florida and my only concern with Florida. Yes, I've named all those horrible weather conditions that can take place, but my hair frizzes too much there. Yes, if you are prone to frizzy hair, don't move to Florida. Go to Arizona where there's no humidity, you know. Whoa, it's 150 degrees. Yes, but there's no humidity. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't know that. So in other words, if an egg drops on a sidewalk and it's 150 degrees, it'll fry the egg. If it's humid, it'll poach it. Other than that, we're cooking eggs on the sidewalk. So, I mean, I don't think that's my place in society. Not me. Thank you very much for asking. No way. So, I don't know. It doesn't really matter where you live. If there's people around you, you're still screwed. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it is true. Yeah, we had no winter here in the New England area at all. New York City, hardly a snowflake that stuck to anything. So now spring is coming. It's not like, oh, wow, this is great. It's like, oh, okay, so now what's the difference? It's not a big thing. And I don't really care for, I don't care for camping or outdoor things. I mean, it gets too sunny. I have to wear sunglasses. I have to wear sunblock, mosquito repellent. What is this? You know, this to me is not a wonderful situation. It's not. If I have to put all this crap on me in order just to survive, it just doesn't make sense that I should be excited about it. I didn't have to put any sunblock or suntan lotion or any kind of moisturizer, or I didn't have to put the mosquito spray on my face. I that was okay. Now if I go outside, oh, you got to wear your sunglasses, you know, and go blind, the sun is too bright, and oh, your skin can burn, and you get like, oh, and get skin diseases, and watch them, mosquitoes are coming, they suck your blood, they land on you, and they literally give you a blood test and take your blood away from you. This is the outdoor life? No, not for me. I went camping when I was younger because other people did, and I thought that's what you're supposed to do. So I went camping. God, what a horrible experience that was. It's like all the mosquitoes said, look, there's Van Damme. Lunchtime. He's full of bologna. He's very tasty. Let's get some blood out of that sucker, huh? Eh? He's our supplier. Mosquitoes go after me. Gnats, I don't even know what they are. They're tiny little bugs. I don't even know what they do to me. I don't think they do anything. I don't know if they bite me or just kind of fly around my head to screw with me. But gnats, they follow you. It's like a cloud of gnats. And if you go over here, they go over there. If you go over there, they go over there. It's really annoying. Yeah, I don't like the bugs. No, no. And if you open the door to your house, like for 2 seconds, like 1,000 insects will fly in and start making nests in your desk chair. It's really bees. Oh my God! I mean, I want to save the bees as much as possible, but don't come after me with them. Wasps—they don't serve any purpose, I don't think. I mean, I'm not an expert in that field, but I can't imagine how. I don't think they produce honey, so what's their point? They're just all, just everything. It's just everything, man. And then the pollen. Oh, my God, the pollen. Time of year, you wake up, you go outside, there is green all over your car, all over your lawn furniture. Everything is turned green with a coating of green pollen. Oh boy, the summer, what a wonderful time of year. I don't know what I'm allergic to, but I think it's everything. Grass pollen, tree pollen, pollen, bobs of pollen, poppin' pollen, pine nuts. I mean, it's just crazy, man. Everything's out in the summer, including the people. So I went camping, and it was just horrible. It was just horrible. Everybody has to carry around a water bottle. They used to call it a canteen. They used to put it in a metal or aluminum a thing that looked like a flying saucer, and you put the water in there or the alcohol, depending on how old you are. And you drink out of that disgusting thing. It was like drinking out of a dirty garden hose. Yuck. Now we have the plastic water bottles to destroy the planet completely, so that's nice. Yeah, so walking around with the water bottle because you could get dehydrated and drop down and faint. Whoa, again, the summer, what a wonderful time. You know, and then we would sit around a campfire and roast marshmallows. We would take basically whipped sugar, put it at the end of a dirty twig that just came off of a tree that a bird was sitting on, and we'd stick the marshmallow on the end of the stick and hold it over the fire to get some nice carbon on there. So it was just like eating carbon, sugar, carbon. What the hell's wrong with us? And then we would take this hot lava thing out of the fire and put it in our mouths and then wave our hands in front of our lips and go, it's crazy, man. And what do people do when they're sitting around a campfire? They tell scary stories. They try to scare each other. That's also fun, huh? How you feeling? I guess all right. Okay, I'm going to tell you something about a person whose head fell off because someone came out of the woods, the very place that we're sitting, with an axe and axed everybody's head off. Let me tell you that story. As we're sitting around this campfire, causing strange shadows on the trees. Let me tell you this story. Let me freak you out. Having a good time, Ron? Enjoying your time outside? Let's sit around the campfire when the mosquitoes are out in full force. All right, now let's take some canvas and let's build a little tent and lie inside it all night. What about my air-conditioned hotel room? Now, let's do this. Let's make ourselves as uncomfortable as possible in this modern day. But look, there's a hotel down the street. No, I wanna lie outside under canvas with the bugs. Why would we do that? Because we're roughing it. Excuse me, please? What'd you say? We're roughing it. We're living like our ancestors did. We're roughing it when they didn't have all the modern conveniences of life. I know, but here's the catch. We now have all the modern conveniences of life. Why are we not using them right now? Well, we wanna spend a night like our forefathers did. Oh, the ones that died at the age of 35? All right, fine. We'll be back with our guest. An important guest as well. We have PETA on the show. Not Peter. PETA. P-E-T-A. I love these people. They're on the show frequently. They're pointing out today something that I've never thought about. I'm from New York City, and I had this all around me, and I never gave a second thought to it. And now it's like, oh, whoa, whoa. And I mean whoa, literally. But first, thanks for being here.
If you have listened to more than 10 episodes of The Ron Van Dam Show in a row, you may be entitled to hazard pay. Fill out two copies of Form 63-B and bring them to Estelle in Human Resources. Don't forget, Estelle is off on Tuesdays. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks for the processing of your hazard pay claim. And thank you for listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Oh. Okay, it's time to talk to our guest. Ashley Byrne joins us now. She's Director of Outreach for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's PETA as we know them. And we speak to the organization frequently on this program because we're great supporters thereof. And you should be too. Today we're talking about something it's a curiosity to me. I'm from New York City originally. And the horse-drawn carriages through Central Park, romantic, wonderful. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, this doesn't make sense. And I know that other cities use it as tourist attractions. Not the real romantic thing for the horse, is it?
You know, it's really not. The truth about the horse-drawn carriage trade is that everything involved is cruel. These horses endure miserable weather extremes, heavy traffic, toxic fumes, noisy crowds, and many of them, particularly in the horse-drawn carriage trade in New York City, spend every night warehoused in damp, dark concrete stalls.
Oh.
And, you know, they're supposed to have lives grazing in green pastures, so this is very sad.
Those blinders that they wear, I can't imagine wearing blinders so I can't look to the left or the right. I mean, is that a problem too?
Well, it's just one more thing that's depriving them of everything that's natural to them. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, they're wearing those blinders because they are so ill-suited to be in the city.
Yeah.
Horses are prey animals, and they spook at the slightest noise or quick movement. And so, you know, that tells you precisely that they really don't belong in the city in the first place.
No, they certainly don't. I mean, horses were used to help for farming, etc., not to get around taxicabs. It's amazing. I assume that the people who even own and propel the horse carriages are in traffic all day, too. I mean, it's not even great for them, or it shouldn't be.
You know, you're right. It's actually quite dangerous, and that's why we see so many accidents.
Really?
Involving horse-drawn carriages. We've seen accidents. We see regular accidents in New York City. We see them in cities all over the country. In 2017, 7 people were injured in Savannah, Georgia, when a carriage horse spooked and ran amok because of construction noise. And in 2017, horses pulling a carriage in Pennsylvania were spooked by a passing tractor trailer, and the crash hospitalized 12 passengers.
Whoa.
And these are just a couple of examples.
Wow. It's disguised as a tourist attraction, and, you know, they even serve a little champagne or something. I mean, it's kind of deceiving, I guess, in a sense. How does this happen? I mean, why does nobody do anything about this? Is it because it isn't obviously cruel?
Well, you know, the cruelty does tend to be very carefully hidden from the sight, especially of tourists who aren't in these cities all the time. So they might miss the incidents that locals see that actually do happen on a regular basis. But, you know, sometimes it's impossible to hide. One example is this past August, footage went viral all over the world of an elderly, emaciated horse named Ryder being mercilessly beaten by a carriage driver in New York City. And horrified crowds gathered and looked on for over an hour as Ryder lay on the asphalt without veterinary care. And, you know, and people were so upset and learned about this everywhere because of video taken by some quick thinking witnesses. But the truth is that this actually happens all the time. Horses regularly collapse while working from, because of heat or exhaustion or sickness. But this devastating video caught the world's attention just because people happened to be around to document it.
Ashley, New York City, for example, is a very progressive city. And when you think about it, it's kind of amazing that this has not been dealt with in the past, because, you know, they, it seems like those residents wouldn't put up with something like that. Is it that the city's tourist dependency on this facet makes it difficult to approach?
You know, actually, in New York City, you're right that it's shocking that this is still going on. Yeah. Because a recent poll showed that over 70% of New Yorkers want the carriages banned. And there's even a bill right now sitting in New York City Council that would take the horses off the street and replace the carriages with vintage-style electric carriages.
There you go.
So everyone would win in that case. You know, unfortunately, it's being held up at the moment by opposition from, you know, from the current industry. But this would really be a win-win situation, you know, since you could still have a charming vintage-style ride but without any of the cruelty.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I would think that in New York, especially, if there were on all the news stations little magazine reports about what's going on with the horse-drawn carriage industry, that that would cause people to speak up. Because it, if it's not in the forefront, people don't even know about it.
Right. Well, and you know, as we've been discussing, I mean, New Yorkers by this point have seen the constant incidents that are taking place of, you know, of horses uh-huh. crashing into cars, you know, spooking and running through traffic, collapsing from yeah. heat or illness. But the tourists aren't around to see this on a daily basis. So, yeah. You know, it's very important to educate them. You know, I know that there are many people who've been, you know, working for decades to spread this message and yeah. to let people know that they have other alternatives right now. You can, take a bike taxi ride through New York City. You can find all kinds of other ways to tour the city sure. that are cruelty free.
Sure. PETA was very successful shutting down many of the circuses and certainly many of the cruel animal acts, and in various states there's performing bears, etc. PETA's been very successful in that regard.
You know, thank you for mentioning that, and it is something that we have worked on. And as you say, we've seen a lot of progress because of the fact that, you know, people's understanding of animals has really evolved. And whereas, you know, 100 years ago, people might not have thought anything of going to see a captive bear or tiger wow. Performing, or of taking an, you know, a carriage ride through a city.
Yep.
Now it doesn't sit well with people because they understand a little more very often about the cruelty behind that.
Yep.
So we have seen some, you know, some great progress. Of course, there are unfortunately, you know, places where we do still see things going on that you would think would be things of the distant past,
yes.
like, you know, bears forced to live in pits, at tourist road stops. Or roadside zoos with exotic captive animals.
Yeah.
But we certainly are working on it everywhere that we find that it's happening.
Excellent. How can people get more information about this?
People can visit PETA.org to learn more about the horse-drawn carriage trade and about, you know, all of these industries mm-hmm. that exploit animals for entertainment, and also to learn more about how they can help. You know, whether that is signing one of our petitions, we have one, for instance, asking New York City Council to replace the horse-drawn carriage trade in New York City with these vintage-style electric carriages.
Yep. Yep.
And we also have tips on there about what to do if you see a horse in distress in any city who's pulling a carriage, you know, like people can take videos and, exactly. and share them with PETA.
Exactly.
So, you know, we have lots of great info on PETA.org.
Yeah, with the onslaught of videos in everybody's hands at any given time, we can see some stuff that we didn't see before. So that's pretty cool, too, in the sense of helping this situation, certainly. Ashley, thank you so much.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. PETA.org is where to go. And you'll catch up on everything that they're doing and see if you can aid them in any sense. Ashley, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Ron. So nice to speak to you again.
Well, that'll do it for today. You've been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do it. I could not. I'm going to be back again on Monday with a brand new program. This is our Friday weekend edition of the show. I made this show extra wonderful for you. I'll be back on Monday. Join me then, please. But until that time arrives, without question, without hesitation, I wish you peace.